Welcome to the second edition of Stokes and Folks. We're here today with two outstanding lobbyists from Utah's Capitol Hill, Kate Bradshaw. Hi, Kate. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. And Kate is also a county councilwoman in Bountiful. Is that correct, Kate?
That is correct. It's my side hustle.
And Frank Pignanelli, the author of, what do you call your column in the newspaper?
Pignanelli and Webb.
So the bright part of that column, Pignanelli and Webb. But I think what we're going to do today is talk a little bit about, so many people have been intrigued by how things are happening at the Capitol and what and the way the business is being conducted at the Capitol right now. I'd like to kind of get your perspective, Kate, on how you think things have changed in the year of COVID at the Capitol.
Well, the first thing is, you know, there's been a big shift in the ability of the public to connect online and testify online. Testifying online was really a very rare thing. And it would always be like someone calling in and then they'd like hook a mic up to them and there was no visual, there was only audio. So thanks to COVID, we have made dramatic leaps forward in terms of using Zoom to conduct committee meetings and floor meetings and have debate both from the public, from legislators. So that's a really big change. It's fun because now every single person testifying starts with, "Can you hear me now, Mr. Chairman?" That's instead of, you know, starting with, "Hi, I'm Kate and I'm here on behalf of," you start with, "Can you hear me now?" to make sure you're unmuted. And of course, there have been some really fun, mute mishaps as we've done this process. There's less people at the Capitol and all of us I know have been up to testify in person on different things. But, you know, the camaraderie of being together at the Capitol, that's gone. And that's actually, I think, kind of a sad piece. Both the public and the school kids and the larger Utah political community kind of missed out on all those people. And then, of course, you know, whether you're single masking or double masking is a new factor that we're all living with.
I've been intrigued by the backdrops of everyone who's been either testifying or the agencies. And I've got to say today, I would give DNR, Division of Natural Resources, the award for most professional backdrop presentation. I don't know if you saw any of that today, but it was fascinating. Frank, how about you? What's been your impression of COVID legislature?
Well, as Kate described a piece of it, you know, it's interesting. I read a statement by somebody, an analyst, that said that the pandemic brought 2030 to 2020. And that's exactly what's happened, is that things we thought about would happen in the future, participation by witnesses and even by lawmakers on an electronic basis, is now happening much quicker than we expected. So a couple things. I mean, I love, like the rest of you, I love going up, you know, standing between 10 and noon in front of the House or Senate, and just either, you know, doing my work or talking with you. I mean, that's the buzz. That's what really makes lobbying fun. And that's not happening. So in terms of us as a lobbyist, the second piece is the great interactions. If someone had a question on a bill, you'd go grab that legislator when he or she is walking out of committee room. That's not happening. So it's changed how we do things. It's made it very sterile. I guess that's the point. They want things sterile so disease doesn't spread. But you have to make these appointments by either Zoom or phone or whatever with these lawmakers. I mean, we're still able to do our work. It just changed the personality concept of it. Lobbying has been part of the human condition for thousands of years. It's now changed to where it's not the same personal interaction. Also, as Kate pointed out, the personal interaction with, you know, because I really believe that one of the great things about the state legislature, they do try to make it easy for the public to engage, whether it's in the committee process and things like that. I do think they're trying to make it accessible to the public. The problem is that you're asking the public to go through so many steps to ensure that. I think it's hard for them. And I've noticed that people get intimidated by getting on a committee webpage and things like that. The legislature's not doing anything wrong. They're doing their best. It's just so novel to so many people. The other piece is there's no rallies. There's no, you know, protests and things like that. That was always a main feature of the Capitol. Every day somebody was complaining about something.
And there's no high school band in the rotunda. So no high school band, we haven't had to listen to that.
You know, my favorite, when I was serving the legislature, my favorite guy was he was the pastor for the nudist Zionist Church of America. And he would trip around doing his best to undress in the rotunda. We're not seeing that anymore. You know, it's like a mausoleum in there.
Yeah, it is strange.
My favorite protest was there was a water bill dealing with access to riverbeds for fishermen. You know, so the fly fishermen came out in force dealing with this bill, and they came up in their waders carrying their fishing poles and with the, I don't know, those little baskets you put your catch in, which, by the way, kind of smelled fishy.
No kidding.
Yeah, no, like no pun intended. They smelled fishy. They made the rotunda smell fishy. But they packed the rotunda in their sloshing around in their waders with their fishing poles. And it was a colorful, memorable group, you know, exercising their right to petition for redress of grievances. And those are some of those fun stories that we're missing out on and some of the colorful parts of the session.
Yeah. We'll miss some of those tales that we all like to tell as war stories down the road because we haven't seen them live. Frank, I'm intrigued by it's making it more difficult for the public to access government because they have to jump through a few more hoops. And that is true. I've always said though, that if a citizen comes up to the Capitol, they have way more access to legislators and lobbyists because we're bugging them all the time. So if you can get a really passionate citizen to come up, I tell the story of the milk bill with Mark Roberts, and he had three women who were passionate about it, and they got that dang thing passed over the top of the Department of Agriculture because they just talked to every single person, and they were happy to talk to them about what was going on. I have been intrigued by the amount of technology that's been deployed in really a pretty rapid pace up there, and it has been interesting to watch that. They took out the cafeteria, and so I don't know. I'm sure that when they build the new state office building in the back, it'll have a cafeteria in it, but they've created those larger meeting rooms so there can be social distancing. Some of the rooms are still unfinished. You can see that from the video that you see. But I'd give a shout-out to Jake Andrig, who in his last newsletter to his constituents actually put a tutorial in his newsletter of how the public can engage and kind of walked them through how to use the website, how to tell if a meeting is going on live. And the other thing I've been intrigued by, and I'm going to ask, throw it out. You've been watching all of these calls, all the legislators participating on Zoom. Come on, who's your favorite legislator's backdrop and them on Zoom?
Weiler. Weiler has the most interesting, at least I've seen so far, Weiler has the most interesting.
Kate?
So I agree. Senator Weiler has very interesting backgrounds. I want to give a shout out, though, to you get to see legislators kind of managing families, right? Managing their life. So there was a legislative Zoom meeting I was on yesterday, where Senator Escamilla's kids came in. They needed something and were, maybe not understanding that mom was doing her senator thing right now, and she was unmuted. And so she kind of had to, you know, use the mom voice and tell the kids, you know, not now, not happening right now. And so you kind of enjoyed that you saw a real slice of someone's life. They are just like the rest of us managing things at home.
I will say,
participating remotely. So
that of the legislators, I mean, Senator Escamilla actually, you can tell she prepares for the Zoom call. I mean, she actually is dressed like she would be on the Senate floor. I mean, I always try to weave a swear word in. This is just the second episode. So I always try to weave a swear word. And you've got the legislators who don't care or give a damn. And then you have the legislators who care about what their backdrop is, what their, you know, if they've actually gotten dressed. I know that Senator Ibsen is out with COVID, and so he actually puts on his suit and tie and sits in the chair and participates via Zoom. But then there are others who have, you know, they just show up in their, you know, open collared shirt or whatever to participate. Okay, so how has your interaction been? Have you been using the lobbyist room? Have you been being tested to use the lobbyist room? Are you being tested for COVID to participate up there?
Well, my issue was a week ago today, I had lunch with Senator Wyler at the Alt Club. And of course, you don't wear masks when you're eating lunch. I find out on Monday that he's tested positive. So I ran and got a rapid test. And it took me 2.5 hours to get the rapid test. As I say, think about the rapid test, it just gets you pissed off quicker. And so, I'm throwing in another word.
Yeah, thank you. So we can make it moderately explicit, the show. Uh-huh.
So, you know, of course, the test result came back quicker than when I left the state fairgrounds. But any event, so I've been tested. But now, what's the lobbyist lounge is open up testing. I've not done that, so I'm staying away today from the Capitol because I'm going to do my rapid test I guess today, so I'll be good at least before Monday to get it again. They're asking all lobbyists to be tested twice a week. Probably a good idea. At least it makes us feel better. I don't know if it's actually going to work, but it makes us feel good.
And for those that may not know, so there is an association up on Capitol Hill called the Capitol Hill Association. It's made up of a group of lobbyists who have gone and rented space in the state capitol. And of course, because it's close quarters in that room, they're asking people to be tested 2 times a week, just like the legislators. And I made the statement on one Zoom call we had, you know, I like all of you, but trusting all of you as to whether or not you're getting COVID tested, that is another question. But I know, Kate, you're following those rules very well.
Yeah, so I have tested twice this week. I did the spit test on Sunday to be prepared for the coming week, and then I did the nose tickler yesterday. Both were negative. The nose tickler is so much fun that I'm going to prepare better. I had to do that one because I'd eaten 30 minutes prior to the test.
Oh, and you can't eat with the spit test.
Yeah, and so I'm going to prepare better and not try and eat my breakfast in the car on the way to get tested because the spit test is definitely less traumatic. It is one of those things that, you know, I've been taking fairly seriously. I lost 2 grandparents in 2020. My mom got COVID and was in the hospital. And so it was really impactful to our family. And I've luckily missed it. My husband is a teacher. He's received 1 dose of the vaccine so far, but it's, you know, I am actually planning, these are the double masks I am planning to wear today at the Capitol when I go up to testify. So trying to still do the work that my clients need me to do and sometimes my city constituents need me to do, but be really safe about it. There's legislators that, you know, we're all familiar with that are, you know, in quarantine now, and some are asymptomatic and some are really struggling. And so it's having watched it play out. It's a thing I'm taking pretty seriously.
And I agree. It's been hard to watch legislators get it. And some are in pretty serious condition. I will tell you that I was a little shocked to go to the Capitol and be 1 of 6 the day I was up there in the rotunda. Because we've seen that always as, you know, bustling. And I really do, I have to commend the legislature for really taking it serious and really trying. I mean, even you've got legislators, we all know their political affiliation, their political background, their feelings about wearing masks, and they're all doing it. And it's been kind of shocking to me that they're all participating and being really conscious of it, because the last thing you want to do, I think, as a lobbyist, I mean, who wants to pick up the reputation of being the lobbyist that gave a state legislator COVID? And if it didn't end well, you would forever be marked as the lobbyist that took out that legislator. So I think it's important we're all careful. Shifting gears really quickly, since this is the second week of the session, we've only been actually allowed up there for the past week. Last Thursday, they opened the Capitol back up to interns, and then Monday they opened the Capitol up to us. So we've been there for a week. What's been your experience? Well, we've covered a little bit of that, but what do you think will be the hot issue, and will they actually deal with some major controversial issues? Just in the few minutes we have remaining, Kate, what do you think will be the controversial issue of the session?
Ooh, there's a lot of law enforcement bills. And so as a category, based on kind of our collective state and national experience in 2020, I think those will be interesting, and they're coming from different sides of the spectrum. So that's a big category. There's one that's rumored to be coming on Utah Lake, the Utah Lake Authority. And that one could be very interesting because, of course, we saw how the Inland Port and that authority really, you know, grabbed everybody and had lots of attention. So
are they thinking of doing a
interesting?
Are they thinking of doing a deep water port in Utah Lake so that they can ship the coal out from the deep water port in Utah Lake? Because that's what everybody thought was going to happen out at the Inland Port. There was, you know, that kind of controversy.
So you joke, but that's maybe part of the idea is dredging Utah Lake to make it deeper so that it wouldn't have the algal bloom issues by being so warm. Also, maybe making islands in the lake out of that dredged material. But it definitely is impactful.
They've seen the success with Dubai, right? The islands, they've man-made islands out in the ocean.
So it could be, you know, like, don't you think for Utah Lake, like, would they make a Y? Would they make a beehive, a seagull?
You know, and I mean, I don't even want to joke about it, but there are such dyed-in-the-wool BYU fans with money that you've given a developer a fantastic idea, because how else can you show that you are a dyed-in-the-wool BYU fan other than living on the Y in Utah Lake?
Yeah, you could live on the Y Island in Utah Lake in the shadow, you know, the reflection shadow from the Y on the mountainside. And maybe your house is also blue and white. You live on Cougar Lane.
It's a whole thing.
I can see how this would work.
It's a whole thing. Frank, what do you think the controversial topic for the year will be?
Well, in addition to law enforcement issues, I mean, you've got some gun bills. I think you have some discussion on that, because Herbert did veto one of the similar bills, but probably gets through. You know, even though the budget's always, you know, you always have budget, but it's going to be interesting what they do back. Do they backfill everything that was cut last summer because of the COVID and the pandemic, because they've got more money? And how, what are they going to do with the one-time money? I mean, there's going to be interesting how they do that. You're going to see the dispute between the legislature and the governor in terms of emergency powers. And I think that's what the governor was alluding to in a State of the State, says, I'm going to veto some bills. I think he's looking at that. As the legislature tries to define their powers in emergency situations. So I think that's going to be, you know, another one of those interesting topics to watch. And then also, you know, I do believe you're going to see more legislation dealing with healthcare and like with telehealth and things like that. You're going to see a lot of healthcare legislation because the pandemic has changed how we access health.
Oh, spoken like a Blue Cross lobbyist. Thank you very much. This episode of Stokes and Folks has been sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield. I agree on all fronts with everyone. I think today at noon was the filing deadline, or is the filing deadline. So we're just minutes away from having all of the bill requests filed, and we'll know probably Monday what looms out there.
One more, Spencer.
Okay.
This is probably going to be a bill about content of social media applications.
That will be huge. That will be huge. And Kate and I, as lobbyists, hope that a technology company picks us up to fight for that, right? To fight against that content.
I'm looking forward to whatever is the Lobbyist Full Employment Act for this year. And if that's going to be it, then I hope to see all of you masked
in the lounge,
in the rotunda, yeah, sometime soon.
It is. I would hope that they kind of shun things that are going to be that hotly contested. I think next year, I think 2022 session will be back to normal. I feel pretty confident that we're going to make headway this year on, you know, being vaccinated. I've called the health department and asked them when prostitutes were going to be vaccinated, because I know we'll be right after them. Lobbyists will be on the list right after prostitutes are vaccinated.
And to be serious on that issue, remember the payment protection program. Everyone in the country can get a check, but strippers and lobbyists.
That's right. That's right. We were banned from doing that.
I mean, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah. And I noticed, I don't know if that may be the center of your window, or is that a pole in the back there, Frank?
And pole dancing, I could get some money from the federal government.
Well, this concludes another episode of Stokes and Folks. We'd like to thank our two guests, Kate Bradshaw and Frank Pignanelli. And please join us next week for another edition of Stokes and Folks. And rate us when you listen to this, where you consume your podcasts, or join us at utpolunderground.com or utahpoliticalunderground.com.